Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
I want to welcome those that are joining us on podcast today. We continue to get letters weekly from all over the country, from the West Coast to the East Coast, states up north, people from out of the country that listen to us in our podcast. And I want to welcome those today that are joining us on podcast. We're teaching in America what I believe to be the most dangerous concept that could ever be taught. And we're doing this through education in school. We're doing this through the media. We're afternoon talk shows. From the first grade on, this generation is being told to look within yourself for answers. You turn within to find what is right and wrong for you. We're taught to get some me time, get some alone time, and contact yourself and find out what is right for you. And here's the problem, and why I believe this is the most dangerous concept we could teach an entire generation. It's because of what Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 20, 21, 22. Here's what Jesus said. What comes from inside defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come, listen, evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these things come from within a person. We don't need to be telling this generation you look from within. You look within yourself to find right and wrong, because Jesus was very clear on what will come from within people. The title of today's message is The Price of Sin. The Price of Sin. We're teaching an entire generation to do what feels right to you. Do what feels right for you. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 warns us, the heart is deceitful above all things. You can justify whatever it is that you want to do. In your own mind, you justify, well, for me, this is okay. Well, Tim, we love each other. Well, what's wrong with it? Well, I'm not hurting anybody else. Well, Tim, I'm lonely, and God does not want me lonely. I'm just trying to have a little fun. I'm just a teenager, and all teenagers, see, this is owed to me. It's not stealing. This really belongs to me. You can justify. The heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful, and you will convince yourself that you're okay. No one is telling this era of history there is a huge price for sin. When you get out of church, and when you get away from Scripture, and when you look within yourself for what's right or wrong, your life will unravel. And you can watch it happen. Your life will unravel because there is a huge price for sin. Yes, 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 yes. God will forgive you. You can turn around after you've had a little fun. When you get older, then you can turn around and God will forgive you. But no one is telling you you'll pay a huge price for sin. Young people, you see adults all the time. They had some fun in their 20s. And now they're in their church and they got it all together. Well, ask them. Go ask those adults who blew it for a number of years in their life. Go ask them if what they did was fun. Young people, ask adults who did what you are about to do. Ask adults who did that for 10 or 15 years about the price that they paid and the cost that that was for them. Here's what they'll tell you. They'll tell you 20 or 30 years later, many of them are still paying the price. Many are still suffering consequences. Many of them still live with consequences of what they did back when they were trying to experience a little fun. Young people, you will hear adults who've turned their life around and they're now in church. Here's what you'll hear them say. You will hear them say, I would be much better off right now had I not done some of the things that I did back then. Young people, yes, you can do what you want to do. Yes, no one has the right to tell you what you can do on Friday night. You're not hurting anybody. Absolutely. I want you to be very clear. There is a heavy price for sin. I want you to be very, very clear. There is a heavy price for sin. You know, for thousands of years, the prophets in the Old Covenant preached on sin, and they called for repentance. In the change between the Old Covenant era and the New Covenant era, John the Baptist, he preached on sin and he called for repentance. Jesus came and he preached on sin and he called for repentance. The early church, the message was a message of sin and its consequences and the need for people to repent. From cover to cover, the Bible is full of the price and the consequences of sin. And we move forward in history, the early revivalist, Moody, Whitfield, Sunday, Finney, they all focus their sermons on the price of sin, on the heavy consequences of sin. Those sermons were preached with a 3-foot-long index finger talking about, you'll burn in hell. And they preached those for years and years. But today, it's a little too much. You know, those hell sermons, oh, it's kind of uncomfortable. Kind of made me, And we have gotten away from talking about the price of sin. In fact, today is the most popular message by far. And there's not a close second. The most popular message by far is the message of grace and mercy. God loves everybody, and God is grace and mercy abounding. And it's extended to everybody. And in this pluralistic, politically correct, all-inclusive, acceptant generation, that has become the message of the church. The message of grace and the message of God's mercy. And totally lost are the sermons teaching people that while God loves everybody and while his grace and mercy abound, God always called the sinner to change their lifestyle and to repent from sin, and God never accepted what they were doing as an alternative lifestyle. Turn to Romans chapter 1. I want to read an extended passage today. This is an extended reading because this won't be read in many churches across America today. While we shy away from these verses, they're still in there. While we don't preach on these verses, they're still in there. While the church does not refer to these verses, they're still in there. I want you to join me today. Follow along Romans chapter 1, verse 18. I want everybody seeing this. This was not in your morning devotion. Those of you who have a daily devotional book and you have a little daily devotion with your coffee every morning, I can assure you this was not in there. For you've been in church your whole life, probably you didn't even know this scripture was in there. Let's read. Verse 18, God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they begin to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever their shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned in lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. As a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should have never been done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, gossip. They're backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. They invent new ways of sinning and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, they're heartless and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them. Chapter 2. You may think you can condemn such people, but you're just as bad and you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you're condemning yourself. For you who judge others do the very same things. And we know that God, in his justice, will punish anyone who does such things. Since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? But because of your stubborn and refuse to turn from your sin, you're storing up terrible punishment for yourselves. The day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will judge everyone according to what they have done. He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness. There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil, the Jew first and the Gentile. For there will be glory and honor from peace for God, from God for all who do good, for the Jew first and the Gentile. But God does not show favoritism. When the Gentiles sin, they will be destroyed, even though they had never had God's written law. And the Jews who do have God's law will be judged by the law when they fail to obey it. For merely listening to the law does not make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in his sight. Even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts for their own conscience and thoughts. Either accuse them or tell them they're doing right. And this is the message I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Jesus Christ, will judge everyone's secret life. I tell you, I've dreaded preaching this sermon for weeks. I love preaching sermons that uplift. I love motivating. I love being a motivational speaker. I love inspiring people. But as pastor of this church, I can no longer avoid telling our young people that there is a price to sin. Young people in our church have got to know there is a price to sin. God was very clear in Genesis chapter 2 about the price of sin. You read chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. There's no question in anybody's mind about the price of sin, but the devil plants thoughts of doubt. Doubt about God, doubt about God's word. God doesn't want me to be lonely. God doesn't want me to. God was very clear on what he wants you to do. But the first, you can read it, Genesis chapter 3. First, doubt God. Next, doubt God's word. Next, begin to go against God's word. It's beautiful, verse 6. Sin looks good. It looks fun. It looks enticing. Verse 6 says it's desired. And the first thing you know, you are sharing sin. Genesis chapter 3 is not a fairy tale story. It's exactly the path that people daily walk. Teenagers graduating from a Christian school and went out and did what? Graduates from Bible college are now doing what? Adults that are in church on the job did what with a coworker? They did what? Adults in church on weekends. Yep. They left their kids with a babysitter and they went where? Yep. I want everybody in here to know. Mark chapter 7, verse 20, 21, 22. Within a person's heart come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustfulness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. I want you to live aware of what is in your heart and not look within your heart to justify what you're doing, but protect yourself from what's within your heart. Put areas of God protections around you for what's in your heart. If you're married today, here's what you will think. My wife or my husband is not meeting my needs. God wants me to have my needs met. Here's a coworker that wants to meet my need. God does not want me unhappy. Within a person's heart comes adultery. Teenagers, you're on a date. Here's what you will think. We love each other. God created these desires. God doesn't want me. Within a person's heart comes sexual immorality. On the job, here's what you will think. I'm not getting paid what I'm worth. This is owed me. This is not stealing. I'm going to load this in my truck and use this on another job that I'm doing on the side. Within a person's heart comes theft. You're drinking alcohol. What's wrong with drinking alcohol? Show me in the Bible where it's wrong drinking alcohol. What's wrong with drinking alcohol? Within a person's heart comes foolishness. So you're drinking and you get in a car and send it 50 miles an hour down the highway, meeting people who are doing 50 miles an hour, and everything in there depends on your senses being sharp, and you've been doing what dulls your senses. It's what's called foolishness. Foolishness, and that's in the heart. What will come out of your heart is foolishness. You know, a change happened for me in my life when I begin to find out the price of sin. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. It starts off and it says, if you'll fully obey the Lord your God, and careful to keep his commandments that I'm giving you. And then it goes in. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children, your crops will be blessed. The offspring, your herds, your flocks, your baskets, wherever you go, whatever you do will be blessed. God's conquering your enemies. The blessings of God are poured out on a life who is walking in obedience to him. Verse 15. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God, and don't obey all the commands and the decrees I'm giving you. And then it goes in. Life doesn't work for you. Your towns and your fields are cursed. Your baskets are cursed. Your children, your crops are cursed. The offspring, your herds are cursed. Whatever you do, wherever you go, it won't work for you. There is consequences in life. There is a heavy price to sin. And all I can tell you is life works when you're obedient to God, and life does not work when you're disobedient to God. Young people today, you can heed wise counsel or you can go and suffer a life that does not work for yourself. But here's what you need to know. Genesis chapter 3, very clear. Sin looks good. It looks fun. But sin does not deliver what it promises. There is a price to sin. I told our two daughters as they were growing up, I tell you, don't play with knives. Don't play with an axe. We keep an axe out there by the wood pile to split our firewood with. Don't mess with that axe. Don't mess with sharp knives. But that axe is shiny. It looks fun to a kid. Sharp knives are just something that's luring to a kid. And so you sneak out when I'm not looking. I'm not here, and you sneak out. I'm in the house, and I don't know what you did, and you crawl out the window, and you start playing with a knife, and you cut your finger off. What will my response be? I'm not going to shun you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to love you. I'm going to run to you. I'm going to do everything I can to stop the bleeding. I'm going to try to put your life back together. I'm going to try to get you to a doctor. I will forgive you. I will wrap my arms around you. I will love you. But here's what you need to know for the rest of your life. Here's what you need to know for the rest of your life. You will walk around without that index finger. Will I love you? Will I forgive you? Yes, 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 God forgives. Yes, he loves. Yes, he will wrap his arms around you. But young people, there is a price to sin. There is a price to sin. And I want everybody in here, all that are listening to me today, never confuse God's grace and his mercy with an exemption from the price of sin. We just tend to think we can get the cheese and miss the trap. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For he will bring our darkest secrets to light, and he'll reveal our private motives. Why does God do that? Because he does not want you destroying your life in sin. He will bring that out to cause you to repent. Why does God expose your sin? Not because he hates you, not because he's against you, but because he is for you. Yes, God loves you, but sin will destroy your health. Yes, God loves you, but sin will wrap your car around a tree. Yes, God loves you, but sin will cause your mate to leave. Sin will cause your boss to fire you. Sin will get you kicked out of school. Sin will cause your children to hate you. Sin will alter your entire life. Sin will destroy your peace. It will destroy your joy. And it will give you a life of fear and worry and always looking over your shoulder. The fact that it looks fun, the fact that it's desired, the fact that you want it, I get that. I experienced that very same thing 2 weeks ago. I was in town running some errands, and I just whipped into the Honda shop. Oh, they had a whole line of those side-by-sides with the dump beds. Oh, they were Honda color. Boy, when I jumped out of my truck, did I want it? You bet I did. Did it look fun? More fun than I thought I could possibly have. Was it desirable? Absolutely. And let me tell you something else. I had the money in my checkbook to buy it. I could have it. But what's the very first thing all of us do? Whether you're in a clothing store, whether you're in a Honda shop, it doesn't matter where you are. What, when you see something that you want, you walk over to it, and without thinking, what's the first thing you do? You look at the price tag. You look at the price tag. Did I want it? You bet. Would it have been fun? Yeah. Would I look good in it? Son. I could just picture myself right now with those four wheels and two of them up. Going around a curve. I could picture myself right now in a mud hole swapping ends with that thing. I could see it. Did I want it with everything within me? Did I justify in my mind how I had worked hard and I deserved it? Yeah. But when I looked at the price tag, here's the thought. I ain't paying that. Who they think I am? And I jumped back in my truck and took off before the salesman could get out there. Young people, you're asking yourself the wrong question. Is it fun? Yeah, it's fun. Do you want it? You bet. But it will cost you your family. It will cost you your education. Yeah, it's fun. You bet. Do you want it with everything that's within you? But you're asking yourself the wrong question because it will cost you your health. It will cost you your marriage. It will cost you your children will have nothing more to do with you. It'll cost you your peace. It'll cost you your joy. Absolutely, you want it. And do you have the money to get it? Yes, you do. But you're asking yourself the wrong question. Here's what I'm telling you today. Sin will wreck you financially. That's too much for me to pay. That's too much for me to pay. Sin will turn a life of peace and joy into a life of fear and worry. As fun as it is, that's too much for me to pay. See, sin will turn your time on family vacation into a time of court and testifying. It's too great a price for me. Sin will turn your bright future into a bleak existence. Sin will turn good friends that would do anything for you away from you, and it will draw friends that will steal from you, lie from you, cheat you. Sin will wreck any type of lasting friendships that you could ever possibly have. As simple as I can put it today, stay in church. Stay connected with those who are pursuing God. Stay out of the places where God is not glorified. Stay out of the places that you're not proud for anybody in the world to see you in. Stay in God's will for your life. Stay obedient to the lifestyle that the Bible lays out, because when you deviate from that, there is a heavy price for sin. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Never tell anybody to look within themselves for what's right for them. So put to death the sinful, earthly, lurking things within you. Here's what's within you: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry, anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language, lying. That's what's within you. Never tell anybody, oh, just get alone and look within yourself for the right answer. I'm going to tell you what's within yourself. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful and wicked people. Young people, you will engage in sin. It feels fun and it looks good, and oh, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. What's everybody making a big deal about it? Here's what I'm telling you. The blessings of God are removed from a life in sin. Now, you'll rock along for 6 months, and then you're going to begin to notice, we got a problem here. But see, now you're involved. Now you're surrounded. Now you're connected. And so then 6 months turns into a year, and then the wheels begin to fall off of your life. In this area, that area, every area. I mean, the wheels begin to fall off of your life, and all of a sudden, this is not fun. You're seeing there is a price to sin. This isn't a fun message to preach. Not at all. But I want to ask for a show of hands today. How many in here, 35 years, 40 years, and older, are thrilled to hear me preach this to those that are under 40 years old? Hold your hands up. All of those under, keep them up. All of those in here under 35, why are their hands up? You need to ask yourself. If it was that fun, if it was that, oh, it's going to have fun. If it was that fun, why with no hesitation did adults say, I'm thrilled, Pastor, you're preaching this message to our kids. If it was all that fun, why are their hands up? You can put them down. Why are they so desperate for this message to be, if it's all the fun? Here's what I'm telling you. Sin doesn't deliver what it promises. And you need to ask yourself, young people, on Friday night when nobody's looking and it's your life and you can do what you want to do, you need to ask yourself, why were all those hands raised on Sunday morning? Here's why they were raised, in case you can't come up with the answer. They've experienced a heavy price for sin. Not only in their own life, but see, young people, you hadn't lived long enough. But those hands that were up, they've lived long enough. And they see the heavy price that their brother, their sister paid. They see the heavy price that a niece, that a nephew paid. They see the heavy price that loved ones have paid. Not only in our own life, but I have seen a lifestyle of the heavy price that people pay for what they thought was going to be fun and meet needs in their life. See, when you live long enough, see, to you, whoo, it's fun. Oh, hey, psst, don't tell anybody. I'll meet you Friday night. Oh, it's all fun right now. But see, you live long enough to know the hell that that causes in your life, because sin separates you from God. The point of the message today is, without a doubt in anybody's mind, God loves you. Without a doubt in anybody's mind, God's grace and His mercy are incalculable. And I love preaching on it. But here's what I'm telling you. The price of sin outweighs the fun that it was supposed to be. Young people, ask yourself, if wild living worked, and if it was so fun, why do people repent and change from it? If it delivered the life that it was supposed to, why are people that did it no longer doing it? So before you get 18 and get out on your own and go do some stuff, before you do that, why don't you ask some people that already did it and ask them, are they glad they did it? Ask them, did it really pay off in their life? See, many people in church say they love God. John 14 says, if we love God, we obey what He says. Galatians chapter 6 tells us, don't be misled. You will reap what you sow. The question I have, is that good news or bad? You will reap what you sow. The question I'm asking is that good news or bad? Yes, you'll reap what you sow. Or, oh my, you'll reap what you sow. God's not mocked. There's a price of sin. There's a price of sin, but there's also a price of obedience to God. Peace, joy, no worries, a life of blessings, a life of abundance, a life of joy. There is a price of obedience to God. But I want you to think long and hard, young people. Which price do you want to pay? The price of obedience to God, or do you want to pay the price of sin? I want to make sure that everybody in Christian Ministries Church, I want to do everything I can to keep every member of this church blessed, happy, and living in abundance. I want to do everything I can to have every member of this church living a joy-filled life. And to do that, you need to daily know the price of sin. Y'all stand. Lord, today we thank You for Your word. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's a heavy pill to swallow. But Lord, it's out of Your grace and out of Your mercy and out of Your love for us that You want to keep us from the hurts and the pain that sin can cause. Today, Lord, we honor You and we turn saying, that's just too much for me to pay. I no longer want to pay that price, but I want to live obedient to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.